Hi there, I'm Jason McMullen.
And I'm Kate Ariano. Welcome to Words Aloud.
We love books. We love stories, poems, memoirs, narratives, and any kind of written or spoken word that moves us.
That's why we created Words Aloud, a space for us to invite writers of all kinds to share their pieces that we like.
Come get lost in words. You're with friends here.
Today on the show, I'm so excited to have Carl Dean, an academic and administrator at the University of Connecticut. Carl is here today to share some poetry. We will hear a number of pieces from Carl, then we'll have a conversation. We appreciate Carl taking the time to share some poetry with us today. I'll get out of the way now. Here's Carl Dean.
Enlighten. The fact is, my blackness, force behind what I accomplish. Those before me, my foundation, rose up through inhumane situations. I'm so proud and grateful. I'm a product of their greatness. Moms believed in what I'm achieving. Her faith and dreams I'm now seeing. She has long transitioned. Her words are in my soul, I still listen. A higher power flows within. It's natural like the sun, the melanin. There's wisdom in not knowing. When failing, I'm actually growing. I'm blessed with my steps that led to all the great people that I met. I'm a reflection of what's in your cup that's half full, but trust it is enough. Just take a sip for your mind to see the path to a higher frequency. I'm driven for better living, new paradigm, shift my decisions to elevate. I must relate my subconscious to a greater fate. No longer trying, I'm just doing. Obstacles are rigid, so I'm fluid. I'm just a drop, but I'm a movement. The ripples in the water, my influence. I keep building for my children, happiness and progress. I'm instilling to keep our tree growing. God willing, being a father, the greatest feeling. And some don't dig me. I'm not their taste. And time is precious, so theirs I do not waste. No stones cast from these hands. I never judge another man. But I'll lend a helping hand along the way where we all proceed to brighter days.
Reflections pass. I reflect upon the past.
Broken home and little cash, and mom's busting her ass for food and shelter to last until the next paycheck. For her much love and respect, so strong and persistent, never any public assistance. You see, I know now, she did not know how, just some way, somehow, we were gonna make it. On foot, hauling clothes to the laundromat, grocery shopping, we took a cab, heat, cold, rain, snow, city bus, anywhere else we needed to go, and sometimes, travel was by foot. Whatever necessary, whatever it took. 12-inch black and white TV, a hanger, the antenna, make the picture clear to see. And my sister working at 16 years old to buy me and her some school clothes. And at 16, I would do the same. We had to work to help mom sustain. There was no time to stop and complain. Just keep moving, adapting to change. And all this was after the divorce. Our lives forever changed course. Then we was living packed side by side. And a place where no fathers reside. And life had my pops drinking heavy. I can remember him passing out in the front yard in the 72 Chevy. It'd be years before he worked his recovery. He fought, but the liquor would take him eventually. I'm thankful for what he did do for me. You see, I loved him, and I know he loved his family. And mom's, well, she's not as strong as she used to be. Now she draws her strength from my sister and me. I'm thankful for her passing it on to me, but I miss the strength that I used to see as I reflect upon the past.
This is untitled, and it's a breakup poem, so I'm sure some people can relate to it. Lately, we can't get it right, so all I have left
is baggage I hold close to me. At times, worn on my sleeve, so with you I don't fully embrace, keeping you at arm's length, no longer who I used to be, making forever hard to see. We are not tick-tocking, we keep stopping while time keeps moving, moments we are losing, sorry for the confusion. And it's all slipping away like sand through fingertips. And we put so much in, but we're not getting out what we need from this. Final goodbyes, followed by one more tries. We going round and round like carnival rides, but we are not amused. What are we to do? Neither of us to blame, yet actually we are. And while it was love that brought us this far, but far is not enough, and enough is not forever. And now we are finite. Do a lot of writing and sometimes don't finish poems and just keep a lot of things. And I struggle with a lot of different pieces. And so one day I decided about four or five, I'll just put them together. And so that's what this next piece is, Collage of the Unfinished. 1996, transcendence, left brain to right, stanzas spoken softly to me in the middle of the night, at work, in the car, in the kitchen. I, an instrument, quietly listen as life scrolls through my mind like a ticker tape to simpler times in my younger days. I, about 10, my late cousin, then 8, enjoying moments like playing in the snow and rain. So unaware of life's hardships heading our way, and me making beats on tables like drums, mom's yelling, stop making all that noise and get your homework done, her not realizing the rhythm passed on. For every time I make a beat, the spirit of my great-grandfather speaks. He, a drummer and a banjo man, an instrument created by enslaved Africans. I, reflecting similes and metaphors of loved ones I adore, many of whom passed too soon, but who am I to question life or death, the when or why of our last breath? Having beliefs and not believing, dual extremes can be misleading. Belief aids limited to certain lifestyles led to a wider spread of people not fitting the profiles, while fantasy and science are like cousins, related. You see, man on the moon was science fiction. That is until the Apollo mission. In between the dual extremes, I aim to be. It's called balance. And that's the place of personal transcendence. Scriptures, I'm not literate, but God and love are in my spirit, filling the inward ways of Tao and Zen. For me, spirituality comes from within. Many different trees grounded in earth by roots direct from God, their existence absolute. The rings in their trunk speak the truth. But paper is man-made, so you can't believe all that's written on the page. Does the oak have to have the same belief as the redwood? Does converting palm trees to pine do the forest any good? In a world which we do so much holding on, I'm trying to let go, become one with the river, stop fighting the current and flow. Erica sings a little bit about it to the bag lady. And yeah, my back has been feeling lighter lately. To my daughters, my greatest love, and to them so much I wish to pass on. You see, many of us want to sing, but fear can cage up your dream. Do you see the cage door open or close? Many scared to fly out and let their wings grow, but you must embrace what holds you back so you can let it go. I'm a bird of song, so these lyrics I know, and flying through your storm, wings become heavy indeed, but you realize the view so beautiful once you are free. Far greater than the one in the cage, where oftentimes we're not trapped by that door, but our own pain. Fly through it as part of life. Focus your vision. Trust your insight. Birds of a feather flock together. I see you in flight as we leave the cage forever.
Progress report. 80% read 2 grade levels behind. Graduation leaves 50% behind. 30% live below the poverty line, of which 50% remain poor throughout their lifetime. And 1 out of 12 black males doing time. There's a correlation of the situations. The stats often intertwine, and the causes are complex, not simply defined. So thoughts of change cannot be confined. Too many say the problems aren't mine, and finger pointing is a waste of time. 99% of failures come from people who make excuses all of the time. That's the words of George Washington Carver, a great American mind. Inadequate leaders and insufficient budget lines, curriculums focus on tests that are standardized, exposing students to little outside bubbled lines. Many parents with kids are spending no time. Many unemployed, addicted, negligent, or doing time. You've come to school with heavy hearts and minds, unable to function in their dysfunctional lives, placing too much weight upon teachers' spines, and many unfairly blamed for being in it for dollar signs. However, many reach in their own pocket to make change in their students' lives. Some burn out trying to teach troubled minds, while others' passion for the cause were never aligned. Metal detectors to detect guns and knives. Some students explosive like landmines. Many youth are wasteful with their time. 10,000 video game hours in a youth's lifetime. Unable to express a single thought but can text thousands of times. Some watch the same movie 50 times. Able to quote it line for line. Most expect to be entertained all of the time. Attention spans are short, but education takes time. Many good parents, teachers, and students, no doubt of this, inside open minds. Yet we need more to change these troubled paradigms. Some questions that should be asked at all times. How do we tap into the spirit of the Little Rock Nine? How do we envision solutions through unbiased eyes? If the pulse of a nation is education, what happens if it flatlines?
I'm here in the studio with Carl Dean, a poet, writer, academic, I don't know quite what to call you in an academic sense, an academic administrator, perhaps. But anyway, I may mostly just want to welcome you into the studio and say thank you so much for coming in and sharing some of your work with us today.
Thank you very much for having me. I definitely appreciate it. And it's always good to, you know, speak to poetry and express what's going on within and share.
Absolutely. And we heard some powerful, some personal stuff today, and also some stuff with very, I think, broad insight into, you know, our society, some of the things that are going on. And there is that connection, I think, between the personal story, the individual history, and then, you know, the history of a place or a people or a whole nation. When did you start writing poetry?
So it's, wow, good question. I started in my early 30s. I wasn't really a person that wrote poetry or wasn't, you know. But I guess early 30s, and I started, I think the 30s are kind of an age of reflection. You kind of start looking back. And so during that time period and a lot of different things going on in my life and kind of looking back at some things that I went through in life and, you know, what I was going through during that time period. And I just started writing. I'd probably say like around the age of 31, 32 years old, I started writing.
And was the work you were producing at the time on similar themes in a similar mode as the stuff we might have heard today, or has it changed a lot over the years?
Yeah, I'm going to say it's pretty much from a African-American perspective. And when I started out, a lot of it started from learning so much about African-American history and the greatness of African-Americans, but it was outside the classroom. It wasn't something that I learned in the classroom. And then being awakened by this, like just being amazed of like so many different contributions and not knowing of it, and you know, getting up into my 30s and not knowing. And you know, and to this day, I think there's so much that should be part of history. Like gaining that experience and then started doing some reading, I just wanted to do some writing and share and express. So that's kind of the beginning. And then it just kind of spread out to other areas.
Understood. And you can tell me if I'm wrong. I might be completely off base here. I am probably projecting my own creative process onto your creative process. But I thought I detected some notes in some of the stuff you were talking about, particularly bringing up your family, your mother, your father. There's something about the creative process in my mind where it can be a way to reflect and process and understand your own emotions and your own experiences better as you try to write about it and tell the story about it and find the essence of it. And I don't know what the question is there, except is that true for you? Or if it's not, what do you take from writing about your family?
Well, that's a good question. My family is a strong impact in who I am and, you know, what I do in life. And so, I don't know, I'm just going within. Like, my mother is such a strong force and still is. I mean, she's passed away now, like, gone 12 years, and my father, like, over 25 years. But my mother, like, she's just a strong impact and, you know, strong Black woman and just making sure that always kind of drilling me every day to do the best you can of whatever you do and do right. And, you know, we're human, so everything may not be perfect, but, you know, the voice is still there, the spirit and energy is still there. So just to write about that and just some things, yeah.
I hear you. Thank you. Where did you grow up? Where are you from?
So born in Hartford. I grew up in Bloomfield and East Hartford. So it's hard for me to, you know, it's like those three areas. You know, I want to give recognition to all three, especially, well, all three, you know, Bloomfield, Hartford, and East Hartford, different times, you know. So I'm a greater Hartford. I'm a product of greater Hartford.
Understood. And here we are at Storrs, not that far from Hartford, but also pretty far in some other ways.
yes.
And did you go to school here at UConn?
I did go to school here as an undergrad. And yeah, it was like a different world, but 45 minutes away, but it was like a different world. But yes.
It's one of the funny things about Connecticut, right? It's if you look at the averages for the whole state, it's a relatively diverse state that by many metrics sort of matches the composition of the whole country. But then if you look at the individual towns, it is an extremely segregated state.
Very much so. I mean, very much so.
And that hasn't changed that much over the years, I think.
It has not. And, you know, sometimes it's one or two streets and you're in an entirely different neighborhood, culture, situation, and, you know, economics, and I think money and a lot of different things.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So have you been at UConn in your current role as an administrator for quite a while now, or?
Yes, I've been here 18 years now.
Wow.
Kind of hard to believe, but it's 18 years.
Congratulations or commiserations or some combination of the two?
No, it's definitely good. And I think I'm blessed to do something that I have a passion for and purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I am still here and working with students and guiding and developing. So,
absolutely. Understood. I mean, yeah, that's part of why I'm working here, too. I really like working with students. And I don't know. They wow me all the time. I learn stuff from them all the time. Somebody told me and I don't know the details, so you'll have to fill me in, but somebody told me that you teach a class on campus. Is that here at Storrs or is it one of the other campuses?
I do. I teach a performance poetry class. It's a FYE, mm-hmm. 1820 class, performance poetry. Teach it in the spring.
Okay.
So I've been doing that for like 18 years too. So a lot of great people come through, and it provides a platform for creativity and to come out of your comfort zone to grow and, you know, speak your truth and share. And, you know, we all go in there day one and nervous. Nobody wants to, you know, public speaking, right? How many people that fear of it? But now put on to perform and do poetry in front of people, you know, but we grow together and becomes like a little small community. So
that's great. Yeah. One of the things that really struck me about your work as you were performing it for us today was the rhythm and the movement and the dynamic, like, I don't know what to call it, like the rolling intensity of your delivery, where you're whispering and you're shouting and there's a real strong tempo to some of what you're saying. And that sort of is, it's just another way of communicating what's happening and what's driving you to tell the story, I think. At least that's what I took from it. But I just felt like that was, it was really, really beautiful and really effective. And I wanted to bring that out and say, is that something that you've always had? Is it something you do consciously? Is it the material that brings it out of you? Like, how does that happen?
Yeah. Well, first, thank you. Appreciate. I want to say that it's just within me. It's how it come out. It's how it comes out of my soul. That's how it comes. And sometimes things seem from another place, and it just comes within me and through me, and then it comes out in that manner. But another thing is, I feel like growing up growing up during the time which I did, just so involved with, so connected to music, particularly R&B and soul music, then later funk, the Black experience and the rhythm in that, and then going from that to the beginning of hip hop. And so I kind of just, all that is like within me. You know, you hear it, and I mean, you know, listen to it for hours and hours, and that rhythm, you know, become one with it.
And that, I think that brings me to what might be my last question, unless I stumble along something else as we talk here, which is, obviously the work is deeply personal in moments. It's about your life. It's about your emotion. It's about your experience. But it's like about, it's a bigger story. It's not just a story about you. It's a story about a lot of other people and all these things that are happening to individual people and what it tells us about society or the world or anything else. And I don't know how to say this. Is that sort of an intrinsic part of the art for you, that connection between the world or the community and the individual?
I'm going to say yes. I mean, you know, some things I've been impacted by directly, and some things that's going on indirectly, but yet directly, if I identify with of a group or a demographic in which it's happening to. And sometimes you want to, I know I can speak for myself personally, sometimes everything gets heavy, and it's in so many different areas, you know, it just, sometimes it gets heavy when you're, you know, but I love it. You know, I love who I am. And, you know, I was listening to somebody, I can't remember who, but I started writing a poem about that too. It's like, you know, the thing is like, you know, like, well, what I'm saying to me is like, and this is going to happen somewhere, but like, how I'm coming back Black, how you coming back Black, how you coming back, I'm coming back, I'm coming back Black. So there's so much beauty and creativity. And, you know, I want to, you know, I like to project that and write about that too. You know, sometimes when we do a couple of pieces, it's just a snapshot. I don't want everybody's view just to be of, you know, oppression, racism, brutality. It's very real. Inequality, and victimized, and slavery, and victim, you know.
Right. I hear you. It's also about the positive.
And
finding things to celebrate, right? Like, yeah. The indescribable beauty and strength and resilience of a person like Billie Holiday or Josephine Baker or Nina Simone or endless civil rights leaders, or Frederick Douglass going from slavery to being in the U.S. federal government, like these incredible moments, these incredible stories that are also part of this experience, right?
Correct, correct. And, you know, yes, and spending time on that. And again, putting that in the curriculum, because now I still have to, you know, I don't know as much as I should know. I feel like I know a lot, but I don't know as much as I should know. And at this time, it's on me, but, you know, I'm talking about from coming up, you know, so all children will have a sense and understanding.
All right. I think I'm about out of time. And I just want to say again, Carl Dean, thank you so much for coming in today, for sharing some of your stories and your work with us here on the show. This is Words Aloud. Any final thought before we close out the show, Carl?
I just thank you for having me and, you know, the beauty of poetry, right? Because, you know, I met you through poetry.
That is right.
And it's just an amazing thing. So
we would love to have you back. So hopefully we can twist your arm and get you back in the studio again. Thanks a lot for listening, and so long.
I have to express my sincere gratitude to Carl Dean for joining us on the show today. I hope you enjoyed this episode and that you'll join us next time. Thanks for listening to Words Aloud.
If you'd like to submit your work for an appearance on Words Aloud, you can send it to wordsaloudshow@gmail.com. That's wordsaloudshow@gmail.com. This show is produced with the support of WHUS Radio at the University of Connecticut. We're available wherever you get your podcasts, and if you want to help us grow the show, please share it with your friends, follow on Spotify, or rate and review on Apple Podcasts.